We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you lonely?
I'm not. I do not feel lonely.
You may be in the minority.
I have small kids. I have.
You have a loving husband. Yeah. You have a close family. A lot of people don't have that.
Well, that's true, at least maybe at this point in their life.
Right. I'm intrigued. A new book from Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse came out today. It's called Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. He talks about the evaporation of social capital, the satisfactions of work and community, what he calls a perverse phenomenon. What has come to count as connectedness is displacing the real thing. We think we have, hundreds of Facebook friends. How many real friends do we have that you can sit down, have a beer with, talk about your innermost secrets? And he talks about loneliness and that we have a culture of loneliness in this country. And it's, I think a lot of Western countries have similar trends. It's not obesity, cancer, or heart disease. Loneliness, according to Ben Sasse, is the nation's number one health crisis. Persistent loneliness reduces average longevity, lifespan, more than twice as much as heavy drinking, three times more than obesity, which many times is the consequence of loneliness. Research, Jor, demonstrates that loneliness is as physically dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes a day and contributes to cognitive decline, including more rapid advance of Alzheimer's disease. Ben Sasse says, we're literally dying of despair. And the failure to fill the hole millions of Americans feel in their lives.
Wow.
So, and he talks about the crumbling. We talk a lot about infrastructure. Yeah, our roads, our bridges, our railroads in bad shape. He talks about America's social infrastructure has crumbled due to a wide variety of reasons, which brings me to this topic. This is an op-ed and editorial in the New York Times written by Charles Blow. And the title, provocatively, White Male Victimization Anxiety. And as I read this, you know, trying to keep an open mind, do I suffer from this? Do I suffer from white privilege?
It's different than Jewish male travel disease. That's an actual thing that people really suffer from. That's right. This one's called White Male Victimization
Anxiety.
And
we have this up on our Facebook site here at CCO Radio. So if you haven't read it, click on it. Tell me what you think. I'm just excerpting. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Please don't. But a couple of segments. To me, this was not just a president talking about President Trump and party worried about an approaching blue wave and trying to take political advantage of a moment of victory. It was also an outright and increasing amplification of a reactionary white male victimization syndrome that has consumed modern American conservatism. Vox has called it the unleashing of white male backlash. The women accusing the white men of assault weren't the victims. Instead, the white man was the victim. In some people's eyes, he was the victim of political correctness. Me Too's overreach, a check your white male privilege culture drunk on its own self-righteousness. He goes on to say, again, this is Charles Blow. They're saying enough. They will cede no more ground. They will share no more power. They will accommodate no more ascendancy and validation of the oppressed. That is what they are telling us, and they are speaking through Trump. There's this perception of a zero-sum relationship, Charles Blow goes on to write. Men and women are in competition. So if things are better for women, things are worse for men. Other research indicates whites perceive a similar relationship to minority groups. In January, a poll of 15 to 24-year-olds found that 43% of young white men say discrimination against whites is as serious a problem as discrimination against other groups. He goes on to write, Trump is the paragon, the epitome of this white male victimization. Everything and everyone is being unfair to him and by extension to white men.
Before you read more, our phone number is 651-989-9226. The question is white male victimization anxiety real? And how is it affecting you? Is it affecting you personally? Do you see it in your spouse or your work or your dad? How is this affecting you personally? 651-989-9226.
Charles Blow goes on to write in the New York Times in this op-ed, "Black athletes must stand up. Statues of white slavers must not be taken down. White Nazis rioting in Charlottesville have fine people among them. The people who rioted in Baltimore after the killing of Freddie Gray were thugs. There was no mention of fine people among that group. Through it all, Trump's mantra and mission remain clear: to bind together toxic masculinity and racial performance anxiety into a weapon that can repel change and any perceived diminution of white male primacy."
Are you feeling it, Paul? You're a white man. Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling, wow, I'm seeing this around me. Minorities are getting jobs. We're having some, you know, we're seeing more women in power. Are you feeling anxious?
It's change, and there is inherent fear of change and fear of the unknown. And no, I'm paranoid. I mean, every day I wake up paranoid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think it's a larger reaction, and I wish we could tone down the racial rhetoric. I mean, I don't think this helps. I think there are bigger transformational changes. McKinsey, the consulting group, just came out with a study: 50% of all jobs going away because of automation. People fear for their jobs. We have a breakdown.
That has nothing to do with minorities or women or people that were oppressed getting white people's or white man's jobs. That's just life. That's evolution.
It is. And we're not going back to 1950s.
We're not.
Leave It to Beaver. And I think I hope everybody recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this sense of change, this transformation, every innovation is a disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Business, show me a safe gig. Who has a safe gig, any job? So people fear for their jobs.
But that's progress. That's not necessarily just white men.
But we've never had the rate of transformation and disruption that we've had.
Correct.
I mean, previous revolutions took hundreds of years. This is happening in the blink of an eye. And a lot of people are paranoid and anxious. I'm not defending white supremacists. Don't get me wrong.
Of course not.
Racism is wrong. It always has been. It always will be. But people are scared. They're scared of change.
And they are now lashing out at the people creating that change, which might be women or which might be minorities.
They're lashing out.
Steve's in Minneapolis. Steve, thanks for hanging on the line, sir. What are your thoughts on this white male victimization anxiety? Is it real? Are you feeling it? How is it affecting you?
Well, I will say I think the whole white male thing is a little bit racist, but or at least divisive. But I do think the issue of fear that Paul's talking about, that has some basis, because when there's change, there's uncertainty, then people are, in the best of circumstances, people have difficulty getting along with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was an article, The End of Men, in The Atlantic, by someone named Hannah Rosen in 2010, that kind of discussed that. But when I looked at the New York Times op-ed, the word fairness really jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. And I do think a legitimate concern that came out of the confirmation hearings had to do with due process, right? And you know, in general, I think that unfairness has swung where the unfairness has mostly been toward women over the years, not toward men. So if it swings a little bit the other way, maybe we're getting back toward the center. But at the end of the day, fairness is not just a pendulum. Fairness is, you know, is it the right thing to do? And it's worth discussing in specifics. I think in generalities, it's really hard to end up with fairness.
Yeah. Steve, great call. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
The average person, the average American checks their smartphone every 4.3 minutes. We think we're connected, but we've never been more disconnected. I mean, in terms of face-to-face interaction, mm-hmm. maybe with people that don't look like us or don't come from the same places we come from. And so we've lost that. I mean, the breakdown of the family, there are a lot of reasons.
Dave's in Minneapolis. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you very much. I'd like to say that that entire victimization theory is just a disgusting bunch of hooey. And I don't buy into it. I'm a 63-year-old white dude, okay? I find that these people have such a sense of entitlement because they've always had it. They weren't thrown in chains and pulled over on a slave ship, were they? They were always given things that other people weren't given. And when they see people trying to even the score, how did Dr. King put it? It's one thing to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but it's another thing when someone's standing on your boots. They don't get that, and it really bothers me. And the last point I want to make is, so many people look the other way when our president does these excessively things, and they just say, oh, that's him being him. No, it's devastating, and it's not good for people to have him do that.
I could not agree more with you. Everything you just said, I wish the president would dial down the rhetoric and be more of a uniter. I mean, I wish. Maybe it's a flying unicorn.
Honey, that's never going to happen. You need to wish for something else.
But the whole trickle, and I think some of that has indeed trickled down and contributed to a coarsening of public dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk to one another. Mm-hmm. We shout at each other on Twitter.
And it creates fear of each other. And when you are afraid, then you create this anxiety. And you are afraid of the unknown. Let's take the call from, 651-989-9226. Scott, I want to get your call in before the break, but we're going to continue. So 651-989-9226. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, good topic. You know, I just want to say that I get it. I'm a middle-aged white male, and based on my career, I often get backlash or just told because I'm middle white male that I'm not going to get the job. So, for example, if I'm ranked in the top five of 20 positions, a lot of times the bottom five will get the job. And so I don't know if that's exactly what you're looking at, but I do see there's a huge issue. And I face it every day.
Yeah, Scott, and you're not the first.
Based on my career.
Yeah, and we appreciate you bringing this up, Scott. We really do. You know, this is certainly not the first time I've heard something like what Scott's going through. And I think that's because I think what he's experiencing is what either minorities or women experienced, you know, 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Well, it's cute that you applied for the job, but because you're a woman, you're not going to get it. Or because you're a minority, you're not going to get it. You know, people hire people that are like them. And if white men have the power, they're going to hire other white men. And that's what we've been seeing. And this is the pendulum swinging the other way. And Scott is caught in the crosshairs of exactly that.
Right. Are we ever going to become colorblind? You know, where it just, it doesn't matter. And here's, we keep burying the lead. We're all the same. We are all the same. We have the same hopes, the same fears, the mm-hmm. same desires. God made us in different colors. Mm-hmm. And when you question somebody or push back on somebody based on what they look like or where they're from or what language mm-hmm. they're speaking, to me, you're questioning the mind of God. And I think that's a bad idea.
Our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Before the break, I will just share what I think about this. Paul said he does feel this anxiety. I see it, by the way, among my white male friends. I see this anxiety that they feel like they're being attacked. They feel like they're under attack from many directions.
The rules have changed. The game has changed. The rules have changed. And I think some people are able to keep up with the rules. Others are just totally flummoxed and disoriented by this new world that we live in with all the disruption that's taking place.
As a white middle-aged woman, I'm actually on the opposite side of this. I am energized. I am excited. I am empowered. I'm going to be very honest with you right now. I don't think I would have this job with you if we didn't have a woman in power at this station. Men have been in power at this station for a very long time. There's a woman in power at this station now. I think that's one of the reasons I got this job. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm happy and I'm running with it. I'm just trying to do the best I can every single day. I don't think it's just because I'm a woman, but I think having a woman making some decisions helped. So I am not anxious. Well, if you could say anxious in a good way. I am excited. I am energized. I'm excited for my girls. I'm excited for the minorities that I know. I feel like this is the pendulum swinging the other way, and we're going to see some equal or better opportunities for people who did not have it before. Yes, at the expense of some white men, and that's unfortunate. But it's been at the expense of minorities or women or other people in the past. So there has to be a reckoning. There has to be an evening out. And it's not saying that the white men are going to be the losers on this. They can evolve and
why
change.
Why can't a rising tide lift all boats?
And it does.
Why does it have to
and
be a zero-sum game that if you do well, I have to do poorly?
But like our caller Scott said, he's losing out on jobs because somebody else is getting the opportunity. That is a zero-sum game. That's somebody's getting the job, and it's not Scott. And maybe there's other reasons. I have no idea. I feel bad for Scott in that case. But it's Scott can go do maybe a different job. You know, there'll be another place for him. I'm sure he's a very talented, smart guy. But that's just how I'm seeing this article. Less anxious, more excited, and more empowered. The calls are on fire, and I want to get to them. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Very quick break, and back to your calls in a moment on CCO. White male victimization anxiety. It's an op-ed by Charles Blow in the New York Times today, and we're taking your thoughts on it.
Yes, we are, and everybody has an opinion.
Jody is calling in. Thanks for waiting on the line, Jody.
Hey, Jody.
Hi. Thanks so much for this topic. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're just trying to air our dirty laundry as a nation and
as two hosts.
Yeah. What do you make of this?
You know, what I feel about it is that feeling of anxiety that a person would feel as a white male, that I may not get hired because of my current, you know, that I'm
whiteness.
A white male,
mm-hmm.
ought to strike a chord of empathy in anybody to say, oh, now I understand what it feels like to be a person of color who by history has felt I'm not getting this position or I'm not getting many things in life because of my color. So I think it's from a position of privilege that a person is able to say, I don't think we should be paying attention to race. I don't think that's what people of color are thinking. I think they're saying, thankfully we are paying attention to race. So that's my opinion about it.
Jody just rocked my world with that comment.
I had not framed it in that way, but it makes a lot of sense what you said, Jody.
So look at what you feel you're being discriminated against and turn it around to have empathy that other folks felt they were discriminated because of the same exact thing. Jody rocked our world with that. It's 4:32. Dean, Bill, Ryan, we see you. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. We're keeping the conversation going after the news on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thanks for joining us on this journey, talking about white male victimization anxiety, an op-ed in the New York Times. You can read it on our Facebook page. And your calls are on fire.
The texts are making me anxious, though. I'm even more anxious.
Dan, remind me again which line. We're going to go with Dean. Dean, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, thanks for having me on this. I just real quick on it. I mean, I'm an educator, and my first job I went to apply, and I've been on the receiving side. I was born in a small rural town. It was very bland. The playing field was level. I thought that's just the way it was. I got my first job. Fast forward a few years. I met someone in the education field who was good friends with someone that was a candidate for the same job that I was going for. And she said, you know, yeah, as soon as she went in for the interview and saw me, she knew that she didn't have a chance anymore, regardless of her credentials, because there were so few males at the school that I was at and I had a chance. And at the time I got the job, I thought this is great. But fast forward, it just pained me because it pains me. It's just that I like to think I'm good at what I'm doing, but my gender also helped me. And it was painful to see that, because you could see in her friendship, and fast forward, I don't want, please don't talk on my behalf. I'm a 55-year-old male. I don't feel like that article at all. Stop, whether it's our president, whoever, do not speak on my behalf. We need to talk to each other, and I'm glad you're doing this because we have to talk and see that we have people on each side of the conversation.
Dean, you are a woke man, as they would say.
Well said.
If you can see how that affected you and your life. But Dean, I would not feel bad. Those kids in that school needed some male energy teaching. And if that gave you an advantage, great. Other people or college campuses might need minority energy, or a large company might need some female energy at the top. And if you have great credentials and all, most things are equal and you have that different energy, I don't think we should fight it if we're getting hired that way.
With diversity comes mm-hmm. more creativity.
That's right.
I mean, seeing things
That's
differently.
Right.
And so whether it's a college campus or whether it's a corporate campus.
That's right.
You know, having views and people that challenge you. I mean, that's the only way you survive, certainly in business, is to be challenged.
Kelly's in Woodbury. Kelly, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi. You know, interesting conversation. I'm a 52-year-old black male, and I come from my roots. I was born and raised, and my family's from Mississippi. Parents picked cotton, sharecroppers, came here and had to fight for opportunity. They gave us a good life, but America needs to understand what they have done to minorities historically. And even now, if you walk in the downtown areas, you don't see a lot of African-Americans in executive positions. And it's not that we're not qualified. You just don't see it. And I'm grateful for the breakthroughs that we've made, but we still have a long way to go. And to hear somebody complain about their being treated unfair, and we have been historically disenfranchised since the end of slavery. I mean, we couldn't even buy houses in neighborhoods that we could afford to live. You know, we were segregated into certain areas. Education was denied. Jobs were denied. And now recently, we're able to start living up to the American dream. And I don't understand why people would be upset with that. That we are now getting an opportunity that they've been afforded all their life. I'm baffled by that.
Kelly, great call. And we are glad you're listening and you call in anytime. And I'm glad his voice was on the air.
Thank you, Kelly.
Ryan's in Stacy. Ryan, thanks for waiting on the line.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan.
Hi. I'm a 55-year-old white male, you know, and I get asbestos for 20 years in a row, you know, and we were all white. I'm not discriminating against anybody, but slowly the Mexicans started coming in and I got laid off three separate times because I was the only white guy in the group doing asbestos removal. They're all Mexicans, and the foreman was white and the lead man was white and everybody else was Spanish. And I'm like, my God, you know what I mean? They laugh at me because I didn't understand Spanish.
So are you saying, Ryan, that you were fired because you were white?
Not fired, but let go. You know,
well, it sounds like you might have a discrimination suit there. I'm going to put you on hold there, Ryan, because I think that might be a different topic that we're talking about. Let's go to Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick comment. I think in general, what we're experiencing in American society is a backlash. You know, the Harry Weinstein and the Me Too movement. We're seeing a backlash. And it's shrewdly being taken advantage of by the Republican Party. I mean, they're great at this. And Donald Trump specifically addressed grievances, emotional grievances, also of women, but mostly of men. And they were very sharp on that. It looks like the Democrats have zero chance of taking the Senate now. They've been invigorated since the Kavanaugh thing. And I'll just quickly say that way back, I'm a boomer, I couldn't get into a college. I had to have an A- average to get into this private college, and I didn't have it.
a guy only had to have a B minus average. Mm. So there's been a lot of changes. And as far as the rules changing, this is my comment about that. It's always been wrong to attack a girl at a fraternity party, whether it's drinking or not. And back in my day, I was at a frat house. It wasn't a party atmosphere, no liquor. But one guy just jumped up and started dragging me into a bedroom or a bathroom or who knows what. But there were two decent guys that intervened and dragged him off me. So that's what I have to say about that. And I'm grateful to the nice guys.
Julie, thanks for sharing your story. And I'm grateful that somebody saved you, too. Terrible behavior.
And I still maintain, you know, we hear about the creeps and the criminals and the oddballs. But I still I have to believe and hope that most people are good and most people want to do the right thing. Most people. Let's not lose sight of that.
I believe that, too.
448 Jor, Wicks and Jewelers time with special event pricing, expanded collections, and 0% financing. Wicks and Jewelers Watch Fair is the best time to buy a watch.
Mike, Max is in the house. Let's talk Timberwolves first, as we are the home of the Timberwolves.
So now they're in San Antonio. They're going to play tomorrow night. And you're talking to the people deep inside, one of the things that's come up is so Jimmy Butler goes and he apologizes. I don't even know, apologize. Makes amends.
I mean, really, was an apology?
With Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. And he reaches out to Wiggins and he says, we're cool, blah, blah, blah. So now the season starts. He hasn't practiced very much. Mm-hmm. So the concern with the players is, okay, Tibbs, are you still going to go to Jimmy in the fourth quarter? Is he still the number one option? How is this going to work? And Jeff Teague's the point guard. Now you got to understand the dynamics of this. Teague is Jimmy's guy. When Jimmy got here, he said, you got to go get Jeff Teague. So they went and got Jeff Teague. So Teague is beholden to Butler, right?
Right.
So does that mean if we get to crunch time here, he's going to throw it to Butler right away because that's his guy, and then it goes back to Teague? Where does Towns and Wiggins fit in all this? My point being the dynamics of this stuff are so intricate and so detailed, and so much of it built upon ego and this and that and who's friend. It almost sounds like a junior high soap opera sometimes, but it's legitimate. It really is.
We're back in high school.
These are legitimate concerns trying to win games. Is okay now that Jimmy's back. What Tibbs, last year you let him do what he wanted. Does that mean he gets to pick up where he left off? Or if I'm Karl Anthony Towns, wait a second, doesn't run through me first? These are some big questions I got to answer quick.
Wow,
drama!
It is drama, it's big time drama.
And today you were at the Wild and the Gophers.
I was at the Wild, they're in destitute too right now. I mean, they're playing tonight, they're 1-4, and Zach Parise says, we've just done some, he's talking, had a nice conversation with him today. He said, we've just done some stupid things. Mm. You know, we're a veteran team. We're just stupid, out of position, dumb decisions. And Boudreaux's on the line, too, because the new GM isn't his guy. So they're playing with a fair amount of pressure right now, too. And I think that's going to be one that you watch evolve if they get off to a bad start here, because Paul Fenton came in, and people, again, I'm giving you the inside stuff, right?
We like it. That's how we like it.
He removes John Anderson as a coach, not the baseball coach to you, but the John Anderson and the staff. Well, that's Boudreaux's best buddy, right? So if you do that and you're the GM, you're kind of sending a message saying, you know what, I'm running the show now and you're not going to have your buddy around. There's things like that, these dynamics. I think people appreciate the inside stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mike, you're the best.
The chemistry.
It is. I mean, it's so important and it's so intricate.
It's not just sheer athleticism. I mean, the chemistry has to click.
There's so much that goes on in these organizations. You know, you go over to the Gophers and PJ's talking all about his freshmen, how good they're going to be. Well, you don't know if the freshmen that are playing for the Gophers are going to be better than the Wisconsin freshmen that are redshirted. Mm-hmm. Just because you're playing them doesn't mean they're better than the freshmen that aren't playing at Penn State. So I'm just saying.
Oy.
Mike Max.
We're on it tonight.
Thanks,
Maxie. Just saying. We'll be back after the news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.